Well, it's truly an absolute privilege to be here this morning. So it's always selfish on my part to get to see other saints and meet with other believers. It's been lovely. I so enjoyed singing. Different people have different styles on the piano, and that's a fun style to sing right in front of. I got to sit right here, which was fabulous. So just such a good time. Nice to have Nathan. You have to have those voices that lead out and are strong, and the rest of us can sort of stumble our way on and follow and just sing away. So that's super. Good to see David again, too. Years ago, you and I wouldn't have been how many, but a few years ago, we met at Storybook and just had a good time together then. So it's just great to see the believers in the Lord and going on for the Lord and so forth. But let's turn to Luke chapter 18 together. And what I'd like to take up here just for a few minutes is the subject of prayer, but not some sort of a detailed analysis of prayer in Scripture, but maybe just this, motivation. I think that's what we need. If you would like to see me sputter and stutter and stammer and things like that, maybe just come up and ask me about my prayer life. I don't know if you're that way. You know, get around the topic somehow. But the Lord loves to hear our voice, and we love to share whatever we have with Him. And it's how we do it oftentimes, is just through prayer. So let's read in chapter 18 and verse 1, and we're just going to look at a very short phrase here at the end of this verse. And He spake a parable unto them to this end. So this is the end of the parable. It's almost like the summary. Does that make sense? For this purpose, maybe? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what are our options? What are our choices? We can pray, and the result is we don't faint. The other option is we cannot pray, and we do faint. That's it. It's pretty straightforward. And so the Lord gave this parable with that simple, straightforward statement. There's a story. I was trying to remember some stories for some of the young people. Some of you would remember T. Ernest Wilson, likely, and he was a dear man. Spent years and years in Africa, saw a generation of men lifted up, hundreds of assemblies established, only to see many of the elders and others literally killed for their faith. But a tremendous man, and he told the story one time. He came to the little town of Lyman. Who was I speaking to about Lyman, Colorado? Somebody here. The Palmers, that's what it was. So Ben Palmer and Paul Palmer, some of you may remember them, but I guess he used to come out to Storybook fairly often. But in that little town, T. Ernest Wilson, they had invited him. And I'll tell you, in Colorado, there aren't that many people. In the surrounding states, there's even less. And so everybody traveled in, and it was a great time of fellowship. But he told this story. And he said that years ago, when he was in the city of Chicago, he had been sharing some ministry. He was there on furlough. And an older gentleman came up to him, 50 years old. Is that older? It's younger now. That's right. But came up to him and said, "Brother, I'd like to go all the way with you." And he said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And the gentleman said, "I just want to pray for you. And I'd like to tell you that I'll be praying for you every day until I see you again." So he said that 38 years later, he was back in Chicago, and he was sleeping in the home of this gentleman's son. I think his name was Mr. Gould. 38 years later, and they were sleeping in the same room. And he said he was in a bed, and I guess the other gentleman was as well. And the other gentleman at this point in time was 90 years old. He said during the middle of the night, which he didn't normally do, he woke up. And he said he just kind of felt uncomfortable or something. And he turned over and he noticed where there used to be a carpet on the floor, that there was actually a large hump under the carpet. And he figured it out that it was 90-year-old Mr. Gould praying. And he said, "I didn't dare say anything. I was humbled." And so he said, maybe an hour or two. He didn't remember the exact time. And he said, "It just so humbled me that that man would pray for me." And the next day, the other person, not knowing, of course, that he had seen him or noticed him, he came up and he just said, "Brother, I just want you to know that I prayed for you every day for 50 years, or however, 38 years, I guess it was. And he said, that humbled me. Prayer is a wonderful thing because we commune with God, with the eternal, everlasting, loving, caring God that's interested in each one of us individually, no matter how old we are. And he loves us, and he allows us to commune with him. And these things should just motivate us, shouldn't they? Another story is, there was supposedly a young man that back in the Continental Congress went to visit Congress, and he walked in. They didn't have the internet and newspapers or pictures at that time. And he said, "How will I know who General Washington is?" You wouldn't have known necessarily what he looked like. And so he said, "Well, he'll be easy to see, because when Congress goes to prayer, he will be the man on his knees." It's a nice thing to be marked out as a man of prayer. So we can pray and not faint, or we can not pray and we can faint. So here's a couple of observations, seven very simple observations on prayer. Prayer is mysterious. And there was a man that once said, and we'll just move right on through, but there was a man that once said this. He said, "I don't know much about prayer, but I know this, that when I pray, things happen, and when I don't pray, things don't happen." That's what he knew. Prayer can be mysterious, but yet we recognize the results of it. Another one, number two, prayer is powerful. Prayer is mighty. You can maybe even hold the destiny of nations on your tongue as you pray. We spoke about OM last night, George Verwer, just briefly. And I believe it was him that said there was a whole group, and Mr. McDonald, I believe, was there also. A whole group of people were praying for a specific African country. I don't remember what the name was, but there was a lot going on there, a lot of persecution because of the government. And so a gathering decided to pray all night, the whole night through, for the believers in this country. And he said they did. And there were a number that came, and they prayed specifically for the believers, for the government, for the country. He said the next morning they awoke to news that said the government had been overthrown in that country. Why is that? Well, those are the things the Lord can do as a result of prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is mighty. The echo to a saint's prayer is like a peal of thunder, because it goes right before the throne of grace. Someone said that we as a person never come closer to omnipotence than when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is omnipotent. And so we pray in his name, and he takes our prayers and he makes them right before the Lord of glory above. The power of prayer. There's a warning label I think we should put over prayer. Is that okay? Have you ever seen these red stickers and they say it's a warning, or like a red warning label, because it has so much power, does prayer. Doesn't matter what age we are. The Lord listens closely to your prayer, doesn't he? And he cares about it. And he can do so many things. Joshua 10:14. The day the sun stood still. Let's turn there. It'd be good for, always good to put our eyes on the scripture here. Joshua 10. And maybe back to verse 12, okay? Joshua 10, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel." How do you conceive that that happened? Like, did the sun start suddenly flying around the earth so that it stood right above you? Or did the earth stop in its rotation so that the sun was still there and the earth was still there? These are things that just cannot happen except by the Lord. And the Lord did it. A little phrase there, though. No day before, no day after that the Lord hearkened. Does the Lord not listen to men and women of the Lord when they pray? Does he not listen in a powerful way? He does, doesn't he? But every day is individual. And every individual's prayer is individual. Did the Lord not hearken to Abraham's prayer? Or, you know, other individuals' prayers? Moses and David and people like that? People that are in this room? He does. But he's going to do it in his own special way, maybe just as powerful, maybe more powerful. Now think of what kind of power it must take. Maybe power isn't the right word, but what it must take to take a soul that is lost and a sinner and make them acceptable in the sight of a thrice holy God who is so holy that he cannot even conceive of sin in his presence. What kind of power does that take? Well, we know the power of the resurrection. We know the power of the crucifixion too. The amazing place that the Lord took for us. So prayer is powerful, isn't it? How about this? Number three. Prayer also moves God. I believe, and I believe you probably do too, that prayer moves the hand of God to do things that otherwise he would not have done. Now, some people may not believe that exactly. Some people think that it just conditions us sort of to accept his will. Well, that's certainly true as well. But prayer can move the hand of God to do things that otherwise he might not have done. And we listen to James. We listen to the Lord's brother. And he says this very simple phrase. You have not. Who knows the rest of it? Does anybody know the rest? Because you ask not. David's God. Because you ask not. That's why. That's the result is because we don't ask, we don't receive. There's a fun story about a child that went to heaven, and he was wandering about, I guess. I don't know if you do that in heaven, but he's wandering around, and he encounters a room that's filled with presents, like thousands of birthday presents or Christmas presents or something. And so he finally finds someone to ask, and he says, what's over in that room over there? What are all those presents doing? He says, oh, those are all the gifts that the Lord had for people, but they just didn't ask for them. They're just sitting there waiting. The Lord is a giver, and the Lord is good. So prayer moves the hand of God to do something that he would not otherwise do. This is a nice quote I wrote down. If you had been living when Christ was on earth and met the Savior kind, what would you have asked him to do for you, supposing you were stone blind? The child considered and then replied, I suppose that without doubt, I would have asked the Lord for a dog with a chain to lead me daily about. How often thus in our shameless prayers we acknowledge with shamed surprise, we have only asked for a dog with a chain when we might have had opened eyes. It's nice, isn't it? And so we want to bring our prayers and our requests before God. Love that in Philippians, before God, let your requests be made known. If I was a yelling preacher, I could do it after singing. I don't know, you'd say, before God, that's it, isn't it? Let your requests be made known before God. It says there, it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which is beyond comprehension, beyond understanding, above it. And it keeps our minds and it keeps our hearts through Christ Jesus, doesn't it? It garrisons us. That's the word for it. It garrisons us and gives us peace. And the neat thing about a garrison around you is two things happen. One is nothing can get in. So something that would steal the peace of God, it can't get in. But the other neat thing is it can't leak out either if it's already there. And so the Lord God is a wonderful Lord to pray to. It moves the hand of God. Here's another one, number four. Prayer is always answered perfectly, even though it may not be in accord with our personal desires. It's always answered perfectly. Unanswered prayer is perfect. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? He always answers prayer with his wisdom, in his love, and his mercy, and his grace, his all-knowing nature. And he can consider every factor. We can't do that. But he can consider every factor. When you think of how the world works and how everything works together and how one little thing could just affect everything, and yet every little piece and parcel and atom and everything works perfectly together. And the Lord does that with our faith as well. Might be a nice prayer for us. I jotted down, if I ever request anything in prayer, and you have more to give me than what I ask for, then do not answer my request. Because the Lord knows. And we're thankful for that. There's another quote that goes like this: not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that he planned. God always answers our prayers perfectly. And it should invite us into prayer, because we know that. When we know that ahead of time, then we feel assurance when we can go in and pray to the Lord. Prayer is also a great work. Most of us would recognize that the work of God is done through prayer more than any other way. Not through individuals, not through circumstances so much, but through the very work of prayer itself. It's done by the Lord in that case, and we're so thankful. I think sometimes we think it's grand to sit down and listen to someone that can just share the word like nobody else. You know, they're so powerful, and it affects us to the very heart. Some gospel preachers are that way. We were talking about the Irish gospel preachers. They're powerful in the gospel, and they affect us emotionally and in every good way, intellectually. And these are great things. But sometimes it's the person that's the heart of the meeting. It's like the body truth that we know about every Christian. When the Lord brings us this metaphor of a body, and he talks about hands and fingers and feet and things that are seen and things that are not seen, and you know, he purposefully put the organs, firstly, to protect them, I guess, but he's a pretty good creator. He's a fairly good designer. He's a wonderful engineer, the Lord is. And so he put the things that were most critical inside the cage, and he created some good, strong things around them. And the things that are really critical are in here somewhere, and you never see them, do you? You can't actually look at your heart. Not even if you open your mouth really loud, really wide. You can't see it. But it's critical for you, because if your heart stops beating, you're done. And many times I think even the movements of assemblies and so forth are controlled by other people, you know, that are just praying in essence, in a right way, in a right way. I remember this comes to mind. Boyd Nicholson was speaking, he said, one time at a series of gospel messages. And he got up, and he was in his Bible, and I don't know if he couldn't find what his passage was or his notes, because he was a note taker. He had impeccable notes, and he would follow them very well, and that's why he was so well said. But there were no notes. I guess he couldn't find them. So he turned to some passage in the Old Testament, and he preached from it, he said, to the best of his ability. And he went back a little downtrodden to the back of the room, and he said an older lady came up to him. And he said, "I had been praying that you would preach from that passage today." And he said, "Then I knew who was holding the meetings. It wasn't me." What a great story, isn't it? It wasn't me. It was that lady that was praying. And the Lord must have done a wonderful job with that. So prayer is a great work. We never know what to expect, but we always know that it is God's best. It's his best. In the scripture, we can remember this, okay? As I state some of these phrases, prayer has divided seas, rolled up flowing rivers, made flinty rocks gush into fountains, quenched flames, muzzled lions, disarmed vipers and poisons, marshaled the stars against the wicked, stopped the course of the moon, arrested the sun in its rapid race, burst open iron gates, recalled souls from eternity, conquered the strongest demons, commanded legions of angels down from heaven. Prayer has brought one man up from the bottom of the sea and carried another in a chariot of fire clear to heaven. What is prayer not wrought? The power of prayer. And then prayer is our security. The best prayer comes from a strong inward necessity, but it's our best prayer. It's our best security. We often try to protect ourselves, don't we? We like our insurance policies, probably wise things. You know, wouldn't be speaking against those for sure, but we like our insurance policies. Never hurts when we have a few dollars in the bank, just a little bit of a pad, maybe a couple extra cans in the closet, or a few extra rolls of toilet paper. I do have a story for you when I said that. Remember during COVID? Wow. So we ended up 3 years ago, our neighbors offered us their home, and we were living right next to them, and it was a little bit larger, and we had grown, and anyway, how did we get on this subject? So we ended up purchasing their home. The Lord was good, and it worked out very well. Well, they're an older couple. They'd never had children. They were moving down to Arizona. And when they showed us the garage, it had literally 5,000 cans of canned food, and it had lots. And we've been there for 3 years now, and I don't think we've used the last, literally, we haven't used the last package left. Where we really got a good deal. All the savings we've had, it's been a great house. Anyway, it's our security ultimately. And we put all these cushions and lazy boys in our lives, don't we? And no wonder our lives can be dull and ineffective in some ways. But when we're trusting intimately, directly on the Lord, we recognize that it is our security, our prayer. Fervent prayers are the prayers that reach the throne. Let's go to James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When I was a little boy, sometimes I would be a bit fearful of what was under my bed. You wouldn't be that way. You know how you kind of get on your bed, and if it's dark, and you take a run for it across the 2 feet width of your bed, and you jump. You want to get out there a long way because you don't know what's under your bed, maybe. But the Lord does. And sometimes my mom would come in, and she would share that psalm, "I both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety." We're thankful for that. Prayer is our safety. Prayer is our security. Remember, dear Ruth, when she went out gleaning and expected a few good ears of corn. And then Boaz says to her, "Let her glean even among the sheaves." And then he says to her, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And then more. She came expecting a few kernels of corn, and she ended up with a husband. And we're thankful for those kinds of prayers. Because she started it this way, "I pray you, let me gather with the reapers." That's how the Lord is. It's always better than we can conceive that He is our security. So prayer is a security. And then lastly, prayer is a joy. And it should be a joy. It's not an affliction. It's not something that we have to do, something that we need to do. Something as though it's dinner time or breakfast time or something, and we have to pray. That's what we do. It's not an affliction. It's a joy, isn't it? Something that's a privilege. It's not like cod liver oil. I don't think we as children had much cod liver oil, but evidently my grandparents and parents did, because they used to talk a lot about it. Hold your nose and take your cod liver oil or something. It's supposed to heal you. But it's not like that, is it? It should be a privilege for us to get on our knees and to pray to the Lord, and to recognize who's listening, and the power that can be in it, and the comfort that we find from being that close to the Lord. It's like meditating in the Word. All of these things bring us close to the Lord, and we can be with Him in our prayer. Philippians chapter 1 gives us this little phrase, and it says, "Making request with joy." It's a short phrase. I make request with joy. Paul says, "Pardon me, I happen to enjoy praying," essentially. And we have to be the same way. Pardon me, we enjoy praying. As a family, as individuals, we enjoy praying because we're communing with the Lord Himself. We have access, as they say, beyond patriarchs and presidents and kings and angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim. We can step into the presence of the very God of the universe at the foot of His throne. That's where He invites us, to be there. And we should love being in that place. In Luke chapter 11, we didn't turn there, but Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it says, "Lord, teach us to," what's the next one? Teach us to preach?
Pray.
David's got it. "Teach us to pray, he says. That's what we need training in. We need teaching and training in prayer. So many other things we go after and we think, well, we're going to train ourselves intellectually, and that's a good thing to do, and our education, but we pour a lot into it. And we need teaching and training in, well, you can think of many things. But here they said, teach us to pray, because it's powerful, because it's mighty, because it's communing with the Lord. It's such a great thing. Our quiet time, a time to exchange wills, to access the Father, just as the Lord Jesus Christ does, to be as near to the Father as His own Son is, and to recognize that God could not love us any more. And so we come to Him and pray. If my life is broken when given to Jesus, it is because pieces will feed a multitude while a loaf will only feed one small lad. It's a nice comment, isn't it? So please pray. Here's a little story about a little girl. Are you ready? So this little girl really wanted to pray. She'd been encouraged by her parents to pray. And she tried pretty hard, and she wasn't always being successful. And she said, I'd really like to pray every day to the Lord in the morning. And so some mornings she would get out of her bed and she would pray, and she'd kneel down and pray. And other mornings she would sort of forget, and on her way to the bathroom or something, she would pray. And some mornings maybe it was on the way to breakfast or something, but she really did want to be faithful. And so she came up with this wonderful idea. Every night before she went to bed, she would take her shoes that she was going to wear the next day, and she would slide them under her bed. And so she knew the next morning when she got up, what happened? She couldn't find her shoes. She needed them to go to school. But then she remembered they were under her bed. So as soon as she was down looking under her bed, she had to get on her knees to get under her bed. Then she would be on her knees, and she would be reminded just to spend a minute in prayer. That's pretty neat, isn't it? What a good idea. These young girls have good ideas. Let's just pray. Our Father, we are so grateful that you have given access before that throne of grace. Given access to commune at any time, in any place, under any circumstance. We can come to you just for the joy of it, just for the communication of it. We can come to you in the time of the most dire need. We can come to you at times of joy to share them with one another. Just have the opportunity to speak to God and to find comfort in the fact that He hears and that He knows and that He cares. And so we're thankful this morning in this simple way, as we've been hearing some things from your word that you desire to impress upon us, that we too would pray, Lord, teach us to pray. To recognize that when we pray, things happen. To recognize once again that it shows the Lord that we love Him, that we're humble before Him, that we need Him, and that our faith is placed in Him. And so we thank you once again for your Son. What a joy it was this morning to gather together with other believers wherever we are on this first day, this Lord's Day, and to remember Him. And as we sometimes say, one more time, what a privilege. One less time. What a prospect, because it's only until He comes. That's our prospect. And we ask this day and every day forward that we would be on the very tiptoe of expectancy, waiting for the coming of the eternal God in the person of the Lord Jesus, listening for the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to be with the Lord forever with the Lord. We're just grateful for these truths again today. We pray for your working amongst these saints here, in our own assembly back home, the gatherings of the Lord's people, in whatever form, wherever they may be, that you would bless them, encourage them, give them wisdom on how to go forward, wisdom in the gospel, power in the gospel, and power in prayer, together in prayer. We pray that the prayer meetings would not be the least visited meetings during the week. Instead, perhaps as well, they should be almost the most, when we come with expectancy and in our need to come before God. So we ask Thee for all of these things today. And we're just thankful once again for yourself. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we go, I was going to ask Jamie if you would pray for our national leaders with this election coming up on this topic. But then I remember we have a Tuesday night prayer meeting, which aligns very well. So we welcome you to join us and pray for that among other things. Thank you, Jamie.